Studio from Lights Out Productions from the website of 1320WILS.com. I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is Honest Rob.
What's up, party people?
Rob's in a good mood tonight.
Good times, good times.
All right, first up on the TKO, we are going to review UFC 128. It was Shogun versus Jones, took place on March 19th. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that got to see this, you were treated to quite a main event. John Jones defeats Mauricio Shogun, who... for the light heavyweight championship. He is now the youngest light heavyweight championship in the history of the UFC at 23 years old.
Yeah, and I'd like to just say something to start this all off. Shogun, who paper champion, been saying it for a long time. I just wanted to let everyone know who was hating on me for saying that. Showed it, paper champion. John Jones is something special, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of Shogun. I don't think he's as good as people like to make him out to be, but still... John Jones is something special.
Yeah, I mean, to come out and dominate the light heavyweight champion the way he did. And again, everyone in this room anyway didn't think that Shogun had really earned that title shot. But
right.
he did, you know, still beat Machida. He earned the belt.
Mm.
So, I mean, he's a decent fighter. He was one of the best in the world at one point. And John Jones made him look like an amateur.
Really did. And the thing was, I think John Jones could have ended the fight in the first round if he really wanted to. I think he wanted to take the fight into the later rounds just to show that he could.
Yeah.
I mean, because there were times where he had him staggered and he didn't even attack, you know.
He showed a lot of maturity, actually, for such a young fighter.
I would definitely agree with that. I was going to say, I mean, he could have jumped on some of those, but being that I think he showed a lot of respect for Hua, mm-hmm. and that even if a guy like Hua isn't as talented as Jones, Jones did show a lot of maturity in that he, didn't make those mistakes, because a guy like Hua can punish you for making a mistake.
Yeah, he didn't jump in. He just sort of hung back, waited for his opportunity, and then in the third round ended up ending it via TKO. So good job for John Jones. And what do you see for his future? I mean, do you see any serious contender for his belt right now?
I think the biggest contender for his belt is the person that he's fighting next, which is Rashad Evans was announced.
Yep.
That hurts me because I'm a fan of both. Kind of before John Jones came in, you know, I was the biggest Rashad fan.
Mm-hmm.
And now I like both of them about equally, so it's kind of like a lose-lose situation for me. But
it's also a win-win, though.
That's true.
So.
That's true. But yeah, there's I mean, I think Machida, I think he would pick him apart, honestly.
Yeah.
I almost want to see it just so I could laugh at that. But yeah, I really don't know. I see him holding on to this belt for a long time. And honestly, I think he's going to dominate the division to the point where I see him moving up to heavyweight.
I
really do.
I think once he fully grows into his frame, I think he'll move up to heavyweight nicely. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just, though, an impressive performance. And I think, we were talking about this before, you know, when Lyoto Machida won the belt, you know, there was this big talk of, oh, the Machida era has begun. And I didn't buy into it, but I buy into the John Jones era. I think it's going to be a long time before he loses that belt.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think we're on the same page there. Moving on, the next fight was Uriah Faber versus Eddie Wineland in the bantamweight division, which, you know, we've talked about is shaping up to be one of the best-looking divisions in the UFC right
definitely.
Now. Uriah Faber gets the win via unanimous decision, 29-28 for all three judges. Eddie Wineland was actually the bantamweight champ in WEC at one point. So, I mean, this was not an easy fight for Faber coming in.
And I think a lot of people thought it was because, you know, Eddie Wineland's name isn't well known to people who aren't really into MMA.
Yeah.
But it was not by any means an easy fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Faber looked good. Wineland looked good too, you know.
He did, yeah.
But it was an experience thing, I think, you know, with Faber, one, having more experience. Two, once it got down to the ground, that's something Wineland really needs to work on. He didn't have much of a ground game to speak of. His hands are good.
Yeah.
But yeah, not so much ground game.
The thing that really shined for me was that Uriah Faber showed, in this fight anyway, I had talked about it before that he had a couple fights he didn't look great in.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, he comes in the first round, didn't look great either.
Yeah.
But he bounced back from that. And won the last two rounds, and I think that speaks volumes for how he's training right now and his determination. And now, after this win, they've announced that he is going to fight for the title next against Dominic Cruz. So,
That is going to be a good fight
and
right there.
Dominic Cruz's only loss is to Uriah Faber.
Yep. So, I mean, there's going to be then that mental aspect to this fight, too. Between those two. So I'm going to be excited to see how that one turns out. Dominic Cruz, really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very shifty fighter. I'll be excited to see this one. I had to eat my words a little bit on this next fight here. Miller versus Chalarus. I took Chalarus. He looked all right, but yeah, didn't end up winning that one.
Yeah, he did. He did a pretty decent job, but again, Jim Miller is a dog, man.
That Miller guy looks great. Yeah,
he's a fighter. So, you know, he came out, he gave a scrappy performance, won in the third round via TKO. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's going to start to get some serious title talk here.
And he really should have for a long time now. You know, he's one of the most underrated fighters, I think, in the UFC, where people, he just keeps on winning. But for some reason, people don't ever seem to process that in their mind, that he's winning all these fights.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got at the top of the division there, you know, you've got Gray Maynard and Frankie Edgar, who are going to fight for the title. And then, you know, also Anthony Pettis.
In there, Clay Guida's
in
there.
Yeah, Clay Guida, Melvin Gillard.
Yeah, Evan Dunham, they're talking about there too, which next fight from Melvin Gillard is Evan Dunham. That's been announced.
Yep.
So that should be a pretty good fight too. But, I mean, it was a good performance by Miller, better than his brother's performance.
Yeah, definitely.
Late replacement for Akiyama, and Marquardt just too technical for him.
Yeah, it was Nate Marquardt versus Dan Miller. It was supposed to be Nate Marquardt versus Akiyama. Akiyama could not get out of Japan due to the tragedy there. Mm-hmm. So they substituted, put Dan Miller in, and he was just outclassed by Marquardt.
Yeah. And that's the thing. To me, Marquardt, he never looks great. You know, he doesn't have great finishes. He doesn't have great submissions. He's one of those things, he doesn't do anything really well, but he does everything good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so it kind of makes for not the most exciting fights that you're ever going to see. But he gets the job done. He gets the W, which at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. You know, you want to get the win. And, you know, maybe he'll... I don't know. I'm not too excited to see him versus Anderson Silva again. I'll be completely honest.
I don't know if he's going to get that fight, to be honest with you. I mean, he beat Dan Miller, but I mean, it wasn't a great win, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something that bumps him up into the title.
So where does he go from
the title,
here, though? You know, I mean, where would he do with
him? He's a gatekeeper for me again.
So
you
he's
know?
A level three boss.
He's a level three boss. I mean, he's a really good fighter. I don't see him deserving a title shot really right now.
Marquardt has lost to Silva, Talis Latis, Chael Sonnen, and Yushin Okami in the past several events since 2007.
Wow. Yeah,
so I think that's a great way to say, look, sorry, guy, but you're not in the upper echelon of this division. Hmm.
Again, he's a very good fighter. I just don't think he's quite elite at that weight class anyway.
Someone who might be getting into the elite class of the heavyweight division, Brendan Schaub, knocks out Mirko Krokop, and wow, what a knockout that
was. Devastating knockout.
Yeah, just crumpled. If anybody saw the Krokop fight against Gabriel Gonzaga, where he just sort of slumped to the ground, it was a lot like that.
Almost broke his leg.
Yeah, I mean, he fell a lot like that. And
Schaub, head first.
Yeah, Schaub just looked great in this fight. Ended up winning knockout of the night, co-knockout of the night, I guess you can call it, along with Eric Koch. But I mean, yeah, Brendan Schaub is an up-and-comer in that heavyweight division, and I'm excited to see where he goes.
Yeah, he's definitely the hybrid, kind of sums him up well.
Yeah.
He looked really good with his hands, and you know, went out there, proved it. He's a quick guy. I think he's got to work on his grappling and his ground game a little bit, but as far as the stand-up goes, which is mostly what the type of fighting that happens in the heavyweight division anyway, I think he's going to be a contender real soon here.
His takedowns looked pretty solid. I mean, they looked like football takedowns, but I mean, they worked, so you got to give him that.
Yeah.
The other, I mentioned the co-knockout of the night was Eric Koch. He knocked out Rafael Asunciao in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Very quick knockout.
Yeah,
definitely. And a brutal knockout, so definitely good knockouts for co-knockout of the night there. The reason there were two knockouts of the night, there was no submission on the entire card, so there was no submission of the night. Fight of the night actually went to Edson Barboza versus Anthony Njokuwani, which was an incredible fight if you saw it. It was on the prelims on Spike, if you saw that at all. Those two guys are going to be dangerous in the lightweight
especially
division.
Barboza.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you want to talk about Muay Thai at its finest?
Yeah,
right there.
These two guys were incredible. Just slugged it out for three rounds, and Njokuwani is fast.
Yes, he really
is. He is really fast.
So only problem with him is he's a little bit up there. I think he's in his 30s, which is starting to push the age limit for MMA a little bit. But I think he could definitely make a dent in the division before his time is up. Some of the other fights that we want to get to that we previewed on the last show, Joseph Benavidez won over Ian Loveland.
Yep, that was a unanimous decision.
That was
that one.
The fight I was excited to see, which I unfortunately didn't get to see.
No, it was an unaired one. And then Honest Rob's favorite fight, or fight he was looking forward to was Gleison Tibau versus Kurt Pellegrino, and Gleason won that one via a split decision on that one. Got a 29-28.
It was a close one.
It was definitely close. That one was actually streamed on Facebook, which is interesting. I was glad to see them, you know, UFC coming out and trying to do something new for their fans like that and streaming some fights on Facebook.
Definitely. So make sure you guys stay tuned for segment two. That's going to do it for us here on segment one. On segment two, we're going to get to some of the MMA news going on, and there's a whole lot of them. A lot of suspensions out there. Strikeforce was acquisitioned by the UFC, and we're going to get into all that in detail. So make sure you guys stay tuned for segment two.